This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Call it Ryan's Hope. Does anyone remember that mushy old daytime soap opera from the 70s? Well, the House of Representatives settle on a speaker, Paul Ryan, and by magic, Congress settles on a budget. Maybe. It's a much grimmer looking maybe down in Pennsylvania, though, where budget politics may just close the schools and give students an open-ended Halloween break. We also get an update this hour on the real hopes of aid workers in Afghanistan after the earthquake and spend some time with a reporter who has a unique perspective on the rhythms of our planet and the mayhem of humanity's worst conflict zones. Veteran reporter and lifelong surfer William Finnegan tells us how sizing up the meaning of a brutal conflict uses the same instincts as sizing up the break of a righteous wave on a beach. That's right. William Finnegan is a surfer. But we begin with Boehner's hope of retirement now that the outgoing House Speaker delivered an $80 billion budget agreement after a long night. You can hear him dreaming out loud at a news conference today.
Yeah, the members gave me a golf cart and a license plate, and the Ohio members gave me a golf bag and a new set of golf clubs.
But the real work of this budget deal will be up to the members who will have to implement it while Boehner's out on the golf course. We turn now to the righteous Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Todd, what does this $80 billion deal mean now that Boehner's not going to be around to spend it?
Yeah, well, it's a relatively small deal in terms of dollars. $80 billion in Washington budget land isn't a great deal of money, but the political ramifications are potentially huge for Paul Ryan and for House Republicans. Here's why. You get $25 billion for defense and non-defense, John, this year, $15 billion next year. Increases in both of those, that adds up to $80 billion. Importantly, however, you get an increase in the debt limit through March 2017. And that means that confrontations over defaults, credit-ruining defaults, are off the table until well into the term of the next president. And that's viewed as a gift that John Boehner has handed to Paul Ryan, because Paul Ryan's an incoming speaker in a fractious House with conservatives who don't get along with leadership. A lot of them already don't want to get along with Paul Ryan. And John Boehner says that he's trying to give Paul Ryan a way to deal with House Republicans. Listen to Boehner.
I made it clear a month ago when I announced that I was leaving that I wanted to do my best to clean the barn. I didn't want him to walk into a dirty barn full of you-know-what. So I've done my best to try to clean it up.
Now, House conservatives know what you-know-what means, John. Listen to Louie Gohmert from Texas. He's one of the House conservatives who don't like this deal, doesn't like Boehner, doesn't really like the prospect of a Ryan speakership either.
Well, I identify more with what one of my friends said, who said, I didn't know when Boehner cleaned out the barn, I'd get so much manure on me.
Which is an indication that, you know, this isn't necessarily a really popular budget deal. Paul Ryan himself, I understand, is planning to vote against it.
Yeah, Paul Ryan went into a meeting this morning, that very meeting that Boehner was talking about, where he got the gift of the golf cart, and told a little clutch of reporters that he thinks the process stinks. About this deal. Now, that's some cagey politics for Paul Ryan. Why? A lot of people are sort of troubled by that because confused by that statement, because the process that led to this agreement was almost identical to the one that Paul Ryan himself got in 2011 that led to what's called the Ryan-Murray budget deal. That's where we got sequestration in the first place, which is really what this whole deal and the spending confrontation is all about. But John, you're right. Paul Ryan is taking over that fractious House caucus. He's being cagey here. He's got a deal that was negotiated by other leaders, and he's coming into this deal saying, I think this whole thing stinks, and he's getting on the right side of conservatives who are already very skeptical of this deal and skeptical of a Paul Ryan speakership and whether he's going to be what they see as a slave to the establishment or a conservative reformer. And it seems like he's sending a message with this first vote out of the gate here.
Is this deal the end of sequestration or a pause in sequestration?
Oh, no, this is only a pause. Now, this gives sequestration relief for 2016 and 2017, the budget years. But sequestration is still the law ongoing and for the next 10 years. So they're going to fight this stuff out again. What this does do, in addition to the debt limit relief, which is really a big deal, is that it sets top budget lines for Republicans and Democrats who've been fighting, John, for years ever since sequestration was imposed. self-imposed, I should say, by them and by President Obama. Republicans want increases in defense spending. That's no surprise. They've gotten some of those increases. Then the progressives, the Democrats, go crazy and carp that they didn't get equal increases in spending for things that they like, domestic programs like NIH and Head Start and all those other programs throughout the government. So this is just a pause.
Quick lightning round. Planned Parenthood, what happened here?
Oh, no Planned Parenthood riders in this deal. Those have been controversial, but you should know that those riders are not off the table. This agreement sets top budget lines going forward. The appropriators still have to pass the appropriations bills, and those riders could come back, probably will come back, and Paul Ryan's going to have to deal with those. Steny Hoyer, the Democratic whip, said, I guess there's still some things in the barn for Paul Ryan.
Last one, what about the CDC ban on investigating gun violence as a public health issue?
Yeah, we've been asking this question, John, and wondering out loud whether Congress was going to take this opportunity, given all the gun violence that we've seen reported throughout the country, to get rid of that 20-year de facto ban on CDC studying gun violence. They didn't take it. That ban is not rescinded. It's still in there. But again, in future appropriations, if there can be riders, they still have an opportunity to rescind that ban before New Year's when the appropriators get to work on the policy here.
Clean barn, but a lot of riders still hanging around. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, thanks so much.
You got it, John.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.